I want to start by thanking the church. I told my wife Valentine's Day not to worry about the 14th, that I was going to have her a special catered meal. She was going to be a special guest of mine, and so she didn't know that meant we were coming here for y'all's Valentine's banquet, but it worked out pretty good. Amen. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you allowing me to share about the radio broadcast and the things that God is doing in and through there, but also appreciate the opportunity to share with you about Macedonian Missionary Service as a whole. And I passed out the brochure because I want you to leave with something. One, because I won't hit on every single thing that Macedonian does. And I want you to feel free that you can call me anytime, and I'd be glad to try to share with you the best of my ability of how you can be involved. But what I do want you to know about Macedonian is there's a few things, and I just want to share it with you. First off, Macedonian Missionary Service was founded in 1973. There's a brother named Leon Jasper and Harold Williams. Matter of fact, you need to pray for Brother Leon because he's 82 years old. He'll be leaving February the 22nd for South Sudan with a medical team. And so he still serves the Lord today, and so does Harold Williams. But they had a vision, and their vision was to come alongside churches and missionaries and help with whatever need they may have. At the beginning, they didn't have their vision came to just taking buses to Mexico and Costa Rica and stuff, which was really how they got their beginning. But today, I can tell you that the ministry has grown and that we are able to cover many facets of the needs that the missionaries and churches have. And for that, we're thankful. We just say, praise the Lord. Macedonian Missionary Service is a 501c3. But we have three sponsoring churches. We have one, Neville's Chapel in Mount Pleasant, Texas. We have one in Tennessee, which is Hopewell Baptist Church in Cunningham, Tennessee. And Faith, which is in Concord, California. And so inside of Macedonian, there's 10 guys like myself that work with Macedonian Missionary Service. We come alongside Macedonian. We work under the umbrella. But we have sending churches. My sending church is White Oak Baptist Church in Nancy, Kentucky, which is a right outside of Somerset. I didn't grow up in Kentucky. We're a transplant. This accent came from Georgia. Go Dawgs. Amen. My little one said we were Alabama fans. He ain't quite got it right just yet. But I know nobody in here is. Amen. But anyway, God has been good. God has allowed us to work full-time with the ministry, like Brother Ken said, since 2008. We moved to Somerset, Kentucky, because we have an office there. You can see on the back of the brochure, we have two offices, one in Florida and one in Kentucky. I do want to share with you just some areas of ministry that Macedonian is involved in. And like I said, I'm going to give you a lot of things, and I don't want you to leave here with your head hurting because of the many ministries. But here's a few. We have medical teams that we take. We have a doctor that leads out in these medical teams. So we take medical mission trips. We take about three a year. We've got they're headed to South Sudan here in February. We've got one in July to Romania, if you'd like to go. We've also got one in Peru in November. And then we have one coming in 2020 to Cuba, which I had a chance to go to Cuba last year. Believe it or not, there's 200 Baptist churches in Cuba preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were able to help raise funds. I'll just give you a snapshot since this is on my mind. But in Cuba, through the radio broadcast, we found a group of believers that believed the same way we did. So we went over there to meet these folks. Well, when we showed up, they thought we was a part of the American Baptist Convention, which you may not know about the convention, but they're a pretty liberal group. And so they were standoffish to us until we broke out our doctrinal statements. And then they realized, well, y'all believe the same thing we do. It was like, well, amen. And so we sat down with them. They have a seminary there of Cuban men and women. And they, you know, they're teaching the men to be pastors, but the women come alongside their men, and many of them doing this foreign country to learn more about this Jesus who we serve. But they asked us if we could help them raise funds to buy a building. And so we were like, well, sure, we'll be glad to, because see, folks, this is what I believe to be true. We have 60 men in a seminary. We have churches over there that preach the gospel. There's really not a need for us to send a missionary. Why don't we just get behind those that are already there and help them do it better? Amen. And so we came back and we told churches about this opportunity. We needed to help them raise $35,000. And so we told the churches, which is what Macedonian does. We send out newsletters. We send out 25,000 newsletters every month. The 10 guys of us, we write newsletters. We tell about the different areas that we're involved in. We sent out, well, funds came in to Macedonian Missionary Service. The $35,000 came in. Well, you can't just wire money to Cuba, so don't try it, okay? It don't work like that. And so we planned another trip. So Brother Leon, myself, and two other guys, we took the money with us. Michelle said, my wife said, don't you realize you're going into a communist country? Because, you know, we had to take four guys so we could break the funds up, you know. But then I had 600 Bibles with me. I said, well, I'm going down. Because if I'm going down, I'm going down good. I'm going to take $9,000 with me and a bunch of Bibles. Amen? But God was good. He got us through. We were able to help them purchase that building. They've started working on it. There was a team that went back this January and checked on them. They're doing the work and the men are growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you see, that's what, in a nutshell, that's what Macedonian does. But that started through our radio broadcast. We also have mechanics. We have two state-of-the-art shops, one in Kentucky and one in Georgia, where we're now able to take, because we're a 501c3, we're able to take donations. So people donate personal vehicles, people donate vans, people donate RVs and stuff, and we're able to give them a letter of donation. And what I have found in our work, that there's many people that have been looking for that opportunity. And man, God has just brought people out of the woodworks. Last year, I think we delivered five or six vans to different missionaries. We took one, a second one to Brother George Deaver. I remember one going to Brother Alan Sheff. We had one that went out to a ministry in Las Vegas that's the homeless people and stuff. And I can't remember that gentleman's name, but those mechanics are working hard. We were able to refurbish this van. These vans, they say basically what they do is they take the radiator cap off and they fix everything else underneath it. And that's what they do. And so we're thankful for that. But we're also glad that we can help missionaries who are on deputation. Jonathan Morgan, did he come through here, Brother Jonathan Morgan? He's going to Romania. He stopped me a year ago and he said, Brent, he said, I've got a $500 car note that I really need to get out of, from under, because we're on a we're on deputation. He said, we bought the van before I surrendered and all, and is there anything you can do? Well, there was a lady that had donated a Subaru, a 2008 Subaru, had 60,000 miles on it. We had just taken it through the shop. I said, Jonathan, we can put you in this Subaru. He said, well, how much is it? I said, there's no charge. All we got to do is do the paperwork. So he was able to get in that Subaru to do all his deputation. He sold the van that he had the $500 note. And you know what? I talked to him the other day, and he's out in California, and the thing's still going strong. Matter of fact, he called me and said, Brent, we're fixing to go to Romania in July. We're going to give the car back. Because that's how missionaries think, amen? They're going to help the next guy down the road. And so Sean that's going to Flagstaff, Arizona, I can't remember his name, he's at the national meeting. While we're all there having our meeting, we're actually going to be swapping vehicles with them to put him in it while he goes on deputation. But see, there's little things like that Macedonian is involved in. We've got a radio broadcast. We have the capability of covering 60% of the world's population. Right now we have 16 stations that we preach on. We preach in Burmese, Swahili, Mandarin Chinese, and we preach in Spanish. We're on 16 stations. We preach to 833 million people every month. We are halfway funded. We have eight more stations that we need funded. And if you'd like to participate in that, I'd encourage you to, because for $183 a month, you can take one of those radio broadcasts, which is anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and you can preach to millions of people. Amen? Amen. So I'd encourage you there. But that radio broadcast, we get all kinds of feedback. I shared at the Valentine's thing some of the feedback that we get and some of the Bibles that, you know, many churches have been started because they respond to our radio broadcast. They send into our office. We're able to collectively see where these people are, and either we go ourselves or we find a missionary that's close by to go meet with these people, hopefully to begin the nucleus of a New Testament church. You see, the radio broadcast, we have technology division in Macedonia. We help churches with their online giving and with their website and stuff. And because we're a 501c3, there's people that in our churches that they have companies that host websites. That's what they do. So they allow us to host it for free. They give us their design artists and all these different things for free, because they can write it off because we're a 501c3. And then in the end, we're able to help missionaries and churches. And so our technology division, Brandon Jones heads it up. We've also got MAC trips. I see a lot of college age and career age young ladies and men around here. Well, we like to take you on a mission trip. And we do that. This year we got one trip to Brazil in October. We're going to help Brother Jay Ross. But we want to get people on the mission field. And you say, well, what's the push about a mission field? Lamentations 3:51 to me tells me what the push is. That scripture says that the eye affecteth the heart. You see, when you go out there and see it, when you become a part of it, then it changes who you are. I shared with the missions committee earlier. I started at Hillcrest Baptist Church in Ackworth, Georgia, under Brother Paul Vance. Brother Paul Vance started that work as a missionary. He introduced me to missionaries, and he showed me what mission work was about. And what I can tell you is that the more I saw, the more it affected my heart, the more it changed who I was on the inside. And so we have the MAC trips. We have special projects. There's all kinds of special projects out there. We just have delivered a sawmill to Kenya. You say, well, what's the big deal about a sawmill? Well, we had Brother Ernie Hopper. Brother Ernie may have been through here. A great missionary. Ever get a chance to spend time with Brother Ernie, I'd take it. But they needed help. They had an area where a man, that was his business, one of their pastors, and they asked us if we could help. Well, it just so happens that we know some guys that own part of Wood Miser. Amen? So we called them. Leon did, and he asked them. He said, hey, we'd like to get a sawmill to Kenya. They said, well, that's great. Let me see what we can do. They called us back. They said, hey, that sawmill is $18,000. Leon said, okay, we'll go to see if we can raise the fund. We'll start letting the churches. No, he said, no. What you need to know is that Wood Miser is gonna write off. You send us a letter because for Macedonian Missionary Service, we'll write off 9,000 of it. You just raise the other 9,000. Say amen. So we made a few calls and churches sent in, and today that sawmill is over there being set up. And you know, folks, this is what the big deal is that man, that's how he supports his family, but he also teaches people how to work and how to give to the Lord's work there. And it's a great tool that he'll be able to use to help people in his community with their homes and with other churches. I mean, the way they work together is amazing. And so it's bigger than just the sawmill. Amen. And so that's one of the special projects. We have a correspondence school. We have over 700 people in a correspondence school. You say, well, what is that? When people correspond through the radio broadcast, we send them literature. We send them basic Bible courses, and they go through these courses. And once they finish these booklets, they send it back to our office. We grade it. We send them a certificate of completion. Most of our prison ministries in the American Baptist Association, they use our literature. They tear the front page off. They put theirs on there, and they put it into the prison. And you know what? We're glad they do it. Amen? We're glad they do it. And you guys were raising some funds for that. My, what God allows me to do, He allows me to do a few things. One of the things I'm most passionate about is He allows me to preach Faith Promise Mission Conferences, where we get to encourage people to give by faith and trust God. Matter of fact, that's where I just came from, Texas, and coming back this way. But the other thing is I'm involved in the building ministry of Macedonian Missionary Service. That's what I went to school for. Got my degree. I tell people all the time, I got a building contract and construction degree. I got a master's in theology. And they still charge me $3 a gallon at the gas station. Amen? I mean, I thought it was going to do something. But no, but I thank God because God allows me to use that education, that ability to build churches all over the world. And so we coordinate the building of them. But we also are able to rent equipment all over the United States, Macedonian, because we're a 501c3. We have a national account with Hurt Rental. And so we rent equipment all over the United States. If you ever need something here, whether it's a scissor lift, whether it's a dozer, you should call us because we rent it for the same price the government gets it for. And you know who a Macedonian is? Who's a Macedonian? The Apostle Paul, it said there in Acts chapter 16, come over and help us. A Macedonian is just somebody who wants to help somebody. Amen? And so everybody in here probably qualifies. Amen? And so the builders, we design. We have guys that design. We have guys that draft. And then we're able to help with value engineering. You know, you can't buy a 13-foot 2x4. I love architectural drawing, you know, but it just doesn't make sense to waste lumber. Amen? And so we use things. We have spray foam rig. We spray foam these metal buildings that are being put up. And we also work alongside the Texas Mission Builders, the Arkansas Mission Builders. I mean, we just want to make sure the job gets done. Amen? And that people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and people have an opportunity to go and serve Him. So that, in a nutshell, is a lot that's going on. Amen? I thank God for it. I told you about the medical trips. Listen, if you want to come on a building trip, you don't have to have any qualifications other than you just want to serve God. You know, I had a lady ask me one time, she said, "Do y'all take lost people on mission trips?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, we sure do." She said, "Well, do y'all just take anybody?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, we take a whole bunch of sinners." And I said, "As soon as sinners can't go, neither can I." Amen. But we want people to go, and we want people to serve the Lord, and we really encourage and want people to go who don't know Jesus Christ. Because then we've got them for 2 weeks on the mission field, and we can share with them about why we're there and who it is that we love. This year, if you want to come on a building project, I'll give you a few. In May, we'll be in Somerset, Kentucky. In June, we'll be in Michigan. In July, we'll be in Fordyce, Arkansas. One of y'all's brethren's church burnt down over there, Brother Caldwell, I believe it was. And so we'll be helping them put it up July the 6th through the 20th. In September, we'll be in Mexico if you want to go out of the country. In November, we'll be in Wewoka, Oklahoma, and then Romania, 2020. So if you would like more information, you can give me your address. You can text me. You can call me. My email's on this these brochures. My prayer cards are back there. If you'd like to get, we send out newsletters every month. And so you can keep up with everything that's going on with Macedonian Missionary Service. And that's the way we do it. And we have Facebook and all that stuff. Now, I don't Facebook, but if that's the way you like to do it, we got a technology guy. He can help you out. Amen. Last but not least, I just want to share with you this. A couple of needs we have. I'm going to show this box. I meant to bring it up here to you. But there's a couple of things I just want to mention to you to pray about, to maybe consider. In our ministry, we're ECFA certified, Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Billy Graham and Franklin Graham started that many years ago because nonprofit organizations weren't doing with their funds what they were supposed to be doing with them. Remember, Wounded Warriors was in the paper not too many years ago. Great organization, started with the right purpose, but some folks got in there doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And so that's why they started this ECFA. Well, I think we may be the only ministry in the American Baptist Association, which doesn't make us special, but we believe in what it means. What it means is accountability, is what it means. And so it also means that I have to go through two audits a year instead of one. And so you know how much fun that is. But at the end of the day, at Macedonian Missionary Service, because it is a vast ministry, we want you to know that when you give to Macedonia, that you can feel assured that it's going to go to where you want it to go. All right? Because this is the way it is. We have to raise money for the builders, for tools, for the mechanics. We have to raise money for the MAC trips, for all the materials, for the basic Bible courses, for the radio broadcast. We raise money for missionaries. We're raising money right now for a missionary in Mexico. He needs $5,000 to get a roof put on the building that they've already bought. So we're all the time raising funds. There's many areas there. And so people will send checks in, and it'll be for, let's just say, $100 for the builders. Well, what you need to know is when you do that, $100 exactly makes it to that ministry. You see, we don't take a percentage out to cover our indirect costs. We have two offices. They're fully paid for. We've built them. We have four ladies, one that's full-time and three that are part-time that work at Macedonian Missionary Service. The other 10 guys, now we pay them, not a whole lot. It's a ministry. We pay them. Myself, we don't get paid through Macedonian Missionary Service, and we don't want to. We don't want to be a burden on the ministry. So we raise our own support, which is what God has asked us all to do. But when you give, in order to support our general fund, you have to designate it to the general fund. People give sometimes and they think that they support the general fund, which is our general operating expense. In other words, if you want to have a part in the mechanics, in the builders, in all the ministries of Macedonian Missionary Service, you can support the general fund. Okay? Because the general fund is what makes the wheels go round. And so I would encourage you, what this is right here, now you can throw it away, whatever you want to do, but this is something we're passing around all the United States. It's called our $4 box. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says we're to go, we're to be witnesses in all the world, right? It says we're to go to where? We're to go to Jerusalem, and we're to go to Judea, to Samaria, and the uttermost. So we say, well, there's four areas. All right? So that's how we came up with $4. Now, I want you to hear this. We're encouraging people above your tithes and offerings. Okay? We don't want to get involved with the church's tithes and offerings, but what we're encouraging people is $4 a week. $4 a week, and you can use this box, promote this box. $4 a week, you can change the world with the gospel. I mean, think about it. $4 a week, you can have a part in what the builders are doing. $4 a week, you can help with the radio broadcast. Now, if you want to branch off and help with that ministry independently, then fine. But I would encourage you, our biggest need right now is our general operating expense, because as the ministry continues to grow, and you can see the many ministries that are inside of Macedonian, those girls, they work pretty hard. You see, coordinating all these projects, if you want to go on a foreign trip with us, we set up everything. We set up the plane tickets, we set up the lodging, we set up everything. Well, somebody has to do that. Somebody has to send out and print and fold and stuff the 25,000 newsletters and all the things that go on to keep you informed, because our ministry is to take you to the mission field. That's what our ministry is. And so I'd encourage you there. I'd also encourage you with our radio broadcast. We've got 8 stations that we need to fund. $183 a month per station is what we need. We're about $1,500 short. 833 million people. Okay? 833 million people. Do you know that last year at Macedonian Missionary Service, we saw hundreds of professions of faith, but the majority of them were through the radio broadcast? The majority of them really were Swahili. Burmese is a hard area. Spanish, not so much. But man, I'm telling you, you got an opportunity there to help with a ministry that's preaching the gospel. Listen, we could cover the world, 60% of the world population with Transworld Radio. We can do it. People ask me all the time, well, why don't you preach on other stations? Well, we can. We just need $183 a month. Amen. We can preach on every one of them. You know, and I'll tell you this to encourage you about the radio. They won't tell you who is the top 3 in the radio broadcast. We've been to Bon Air, and not that we asked so much, but they came to us and they said, we can't tell you who's in the top 3, but we can tell you Harold. I mean, we can't tell you who's number 1, but we can tell you who's in the top 3, and Harold Williams is in the top 3. Now, I want you to understand, he preaches up against Tony Evans. He preaches up against the Moody Network, and there's nothing against them. But, I mean, and we said, well, how do you determine that? They said, by the amount of information that is sent into our office. So the most response that comes in is through the Macedonian broadcast. Okay? And they have told us that. And so, you know, I tell people all the time, you know why that is? Because Harold just goes down the scriptures. He doesn't put any philosophy into it. He just preaches straight down the scriptures. And that's where the power is. And that's what changes people's lives. Amen? All right, Romans chapter 1. I'm going to preach to you for just a few minutes, and we're going to be done. Right, Brother Ken? Amen. Lou Holtz said this. Y'all know who Lou Holtz is? Lou Holtz coached 132 games in 11 seasons at Notre Dame. He said, ability is what you're capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do, and attitude determines how well you do it. Now, listen, I just want to talk to you. I shared with Russellville this same thing. This is what God laid on my heart. I wanted to preach to you about the lost sheep this evening, but God just won't let me get away from this, so I'm just going to go with Him, all right? I want to just talk to you about attitude. Listen, our attitude determines, you know, it determines how well we do it. Listen, if we're not winning people to the Lord, if we're not sharing our faith, if we're not out there trying to plow up the ground, it's probably because our attitude may just not be right. You see, when we read Romans chapter number 1 here, and I'm going to read verses 13 through 16 to you, I just want to show you a few things that God has shown me, the Apostle Paul and his attitude. So let's read here Romans chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse number 13. It says, now that I I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. As much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Man, when I read that, I see a man. Listen, Paul was a great missionary. He was. He started a whole lot of churches. But may I remind you, he is writing to the Romans from Corinth. He didn't start this church. He ain't even been there. And what his greatest desire is to have fruit among them people. His great desire is to come alongside those that are saved. I believe Aquila and Priscilla probably told him some about what was going on over there. But his heart was for those that were lost. That's where his heart was. But you know what? When I think about his attitude, the first thing that jumps out to me is he says, I am purposed. Did you see that? I am purposed. In other words, I'm making a plan. Yeah. He said that in Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 19, verse 21. It's somewhere there in Acts. He said, after he goes to Jerusalem, he's got to go to Rome. He was making a plan. May I encourage you? Listen, I just want to encourage you. There is a lot of work to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we don't plan to do it, it'll never happen. You see, a gentleman taught me this. He said, Brent, when I had my building company, I had a lot of freedom. There was a lot of things I could have gone and could have done and could have participated in. Listen, I served the church. I taught Sunday school. I was involved there at Hillcrest in Ackworth. But he said, Brent, he said, let me just show you what the problem is. He said, the problem is your company and yourself and all these things are in the center and you keep trying to bring God into those things. He said, if you really want to do something for Jesus, put God in the middle there and then work your business and every other secular thing around it. Amen. He said, plan what you want to do for God. Now listen, what are you planning to do for Jesus this year? What is your plan? Listen, I just gave you 5, 6, 7, 8 different mission trips, and I'm not here to try to get you to go with Macedonian Missionary Service, although I would like for you to. But what I do want you to do is serve God, is find an area where you can serve Him. Amen. But it won't happen until you plan it. Now let me put it this way, because this usually helps us. We don't just leave vacation to happen chance, do we? Some of y'all already got it planned for this year. I'm not going to make you raise your hands or nothing, all right? Some of you already got it planned. You know, I mean, we plan for everything. We plan for retirement. You know, we plan for this. We plan for that. But then when you ask, if I was to walk up to you and say, hey, what are you planning to do? Where are you planning to go? How are you planning to get the gospel out this year? It's kind of like you get these deer in the headlight looks. You know? Like, what do you mean? Well, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ saved us to work. Amen? We're His workmanship. He wants us to go out. So I want to encourage you, if you don't have a plan to serve God this year, you need to make one. You need to make one. Plan to go. That's what Jesus did. He had a plan. He was purposed. May I remind you, He was the one that purposed to leave heaven. Amen. That was Jesus. I mean, he was, but Paul, his attitude was one of being purposed. The next thing that I see right there in verse number 14 is he says, I'm a debtor. Listen, what was driving Paul was the fact that Jesus had paid a debt that he couldn't pay. Paul was a filthy rag. I mean, listen, Paul, he was killing Christians. He was a Pharisee. He was eat up with the law. And then there on the Damascus Road, God changed his life forever. And you know what? I believe with all my heart what Paul felt was that he wouldn't fully fulfill his mission. That he wouldn't fully pay his debt until he told the whole world about Jesus Christ. How about you and I? Listen, I mean, God paid a debt for me. He did. He sent Jesus who died on a cross, who shed his blood. You think about this. If somebody came to you and said, brother, I'm just going to pay off all your debts. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, amen. We'd form a line from here out to the Cracker Barrel. Amen. But think about that. If they did pay off that debt, you know, if they paid for it. I mean, listen, when it came Valentine's Day, you'd be sending them a card. When it came Christmas, you'd be sending them a card. Listen, if they needed their leaves raked, you'd be raking them. You wouldn't forget about it. How quickly we forget that Jesus paid a debt for us. Right? See, it's greater because, brother, I mean, I don't have the funds, but if I did, I could write you a check and I could pay off your debt. But what I can't do is forgive you of your sins. But Jesus can. Jesus can. The other thing Paul said was he said he was purposed. He said he was a debtor, but he also said he was eager. He said, I'm ready to go. Folks, listen, may I encourage you? That's what it's all about. That's what being eager to do something for the Lord. I'll go back to vacation. I mean, that's what people talk about. Man, I just can't wait for this. I can't wait. They're eager. You say, well, Let's go to the Super Bowl and pass out Bibles. Nobody's eager anymore. I mean, where'd the eagerness go? All of a sudden, we got excuses from one end of town to the other, right? Now, I'm trying to encourage you. Listen, I'm not trying to talk down. I just want you to understand. Listen, Paul's attitude was one. He was purpose. He was making a plan. He understood that there was a debt that was paid on his behalf that he couldn't pay. That he was rescued from hell. That was motivation to him. And it's motivation to me. There is people dying. Isn't that what Jesus said? I wanted to preach it. I'll just use the scripture. But Jesus said, who wouldn't go after the one sheep that's lost? Amen? Who wouldn't? Folks, there's lost sheep all around us. And we're not finding them because we're not purpose. We've lost our, and we've become not in touch with our indebtedness, but we're not eager to do it. We've got to be eager. And I don't mean some superficial thing. I'm asking God, keep that desire, keep that fire, keep that burn in me to where I'm looking at you and I'm seeing opportunities. Listen, it is no coincidence that God has brought me here today to share with you opportunities. You know why? Because He wants you to be eager to do things about it. And last, He said, He wasn't ashamed. You know, have you ever thought about that? Why the Apostle Paul would say that he was not ashamed? I was like, well, of course he's not ashamed because he went starting all these churches, and I mean, he was a great preacher, and I mean, of course he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. But remember, he was writing to the Romans. And the Romans, crucifixion like Jesus died was a low form of dying. Remember, Rome was a proud city, conquered Jerusalem. So I believe what Paul was saying was, listen, in Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul said, this is the gospel of God. In other words, you can trust this. I know that you may think that he's just a Jewish carpenter, but this is the gospel of God. This is a life-changing message that you need not be ashamed of. You and I, folks, God chooses to use us. I mean, I'm thankful for what God allows me to do, but may I tell you, what I've just shared with you is about what we can do together. You see, I can plan the greatest building project in the world, but if people aren't purposed to go, if people don't consider their indebtedness, if they're not eager and then they're not unashamed, they'll never show up. Same thing with the mechanics. Same thing with the radio broadcast. I mean, listen, the only alternative to not getting it funded is it has to go off the air. Well, that's not what we want. Amen? We want to be eager. We want people to hear the message that changed our life. I just want to encourage you. Let's just check our attitude, all right? Let's check our attitude, and let's check it against the Bible. Yes, but I think the Apostle Paul would be a good man to check it against too. He was purposed. He was indebted. He was a debtor. Right? He was eager, and he was not ashamed. You take the ball and you run with it. Amen? God bless you. Thank you for your time. I greatly appreciate it. If there's ever anything we can do, I know you guys support mission work and missionaries. If there's ever one of your missionaries that needs help or may need help, I'd love to help them. You call me. And if I can't help them, I might can just find somebody who can. God bless you, brother. I'm going to turn it back over to you.